I think I heard somebody laugh at that, but I'm going to seriously try to do my best. Luke chapter 10. I can't do it right now. Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 25. I can't take it off right now. That's immature. Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 25, the scripture reads, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered unto him, saying, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves and stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance came down the road a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was the neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed him mercy. Then Jesus said unto him, Go and do thou likewise." This morning I want to talk to you from the subject, taking care of home. Look at your neighbors and give them a hug as you take your seats and you greet them this morning. Give them a hug, make sure you make them feel welcome. Take care of home. In 1952, there was a pastor named Everett Swanson who flew to South Korea to minister to American troops over there in the region. He was over there to minister to them because they were fighting in the Korean War. And while he was there driving down the streets to the different locations to where he was ministering to the troops, the Holy Spirit moved on him and prompted him to look around. And as he looked, his spirit was troubled because he saw so many orphans that was off along the sides of the streets. They were orphans because their parents were fighting in the war and their fathers and mothers were dying, and they had all of these needs that they had that were not being met. And the Bible, the Holy Spirit prompted him and urged him that he needed to do something with that. And at that time, he didn't know what God wanted him to do, but he just got busy serving people. And I don't think he had any idea what God was going to do through him because of his obedience. You fast forward 70 years to modern day today, and he was responsible for helping to start an organization called Compassion. Somebody say Compassion. And Compassion is an organization that meets needs for children all over the world. Literally in 25 countries, they are meeting the needs of children all over the world. They meet all different types of needs. They meet educational needs. They meet physical and medical needs. They provide services for young women who've been abused both physically and sexually. But most of all, Compassion provides services for those when they go out and minister, they lead them to Jesus Christ through their services. How many know that sometimes when you give love, people are receptive to what it is that you have for them? And so my wife and I are supporters of Compassionate, and we actually support some of the young girls and sponsor them who are in the program, as well as I know many of you have when you were given the opportunity to support them. Many of you stepped up and you started supporting these young women and young men all over the world, and I say thank you for that. But while I was in my prayer time not too long ago, I have to be honest with you, the Lord troubled my spirit. And when I was in there in prayer, I felt him tell me very clearly that it's good to support ministries that provide services for people all around the world and that we need to do that. But the problem was we have to make sure that we don't forget to take care of home. I literally was feeling very good because I felt within my spirit that I was fulfilling the Great Commission. But how many know that the Great Commission is not only externally? It's right here at home. And when I was in prayer, I'm like, well, God, I don't know what you mean. I mean, he said, what are you doing to take care of the people that are in your own community? I said, well, God, what are you talking about? We do a lot to support people in our community. We support the seniors. I mean, we provide all types of programs. We feed people. We do all different types of things in the community. And he said, son, I want you to open your eyes a little wider. And so I started doing some research on Gainesville, and I found out that in 2018, Gainesville was rated one of the best places in America to live. How many of you remember that? Gainesville has access to some of the best universities in the world, the University of Florida, go Gators, and Santa Fe Community College. You may take it for granted, but we have some of the best hospitals here anywhere. In UF Shands and North Florida Regional, we are very blessed. We have a good mix of small businesses and large businesses for people to work at. And so I'm like, God, what's the problem? Gainesville is doing pretty good. I mean, we're doing all right. And he said, I want you to dig a little deeper. And so when I started looking a little deeper, my eyes were open and I was astounded that, you know, everything that you see on the surface is not really what's going on. When I started digging, I come to find out that African Americans here in this community have the highest unemployment rate in the area at 14.7%. So it's hard for people to get in a job. When we talk about celebrating for Sister Erica, how many of you have tried to find a job and you just couldn't get one at all? You're going and applying. You're doing everything that you know to do. Well, that's a problem here in this community. I found out that nearly 36% of blacks live in poverty here. 36%. I found that black juveniles are 10 times more likely to be detained by the police, 7 times more likely to be arrested than their white counterparts here. I found out that 70% of the entire jail population is African American. Think about that. 70%. 7 out of 10 are African American. But perhaps the most alarming statistic that I saw when I started digging into this was that according to 2015 data, young children entering into the third grade are not at reading grade level. Only 28% of them are at reading grade level. Wait a minute now. Think about that. 28% of African-American third graders enter into the third grade are able to read at a third grade level. And when you looked at the data, math was not much better. Now think about the problems that caused for these young children. Because when you get into the third grade and you can't read, how many of you know that it's hard to excel in your school studies? And when you don't excel in your school studies and you start failing out of school, you don't graduate from high school, you can't get a job. And generationally, it sets us in a pattern to where you can never get ahead because education is the key to doing that. Right? And when I started praying about this, listen, this is, I'm not here to preach at you this morning. This is more of a vision setting this morning. I'm trying to explain what we're doing today, right now, today, as well as even after church. When I started praying about this, God said, did you know, son, that a large portion of that 72% that can't read and that aren't at grade level that's being destroyed generationally are right there in your community? And God started prompting me, what are you doing about that as a pastor? What are you doing about it? And he says, son, I want you, listen, here's the bit. God says, I want you at Open Door to be involved with fixing that problem in the Duval area. God is calling us to fix that need. Now, I know there are some of you in here who are probably looking at me and saying, Pastor, what does the church have anything to do with that? Why does the church need to get involved with meeting those types of needs? I mean, the role of the church is to preach the gospel, right? That's what some of you may be thinking. But how many of you know that God says not only are we supposed to reach and preach the gospel, that we also need to meet needs? Come on, somebody. Listen, when Jesus went out and sent his disciples out into the community, do you know what he did? He didn't just send them out to preach. Mike, do y'all have that scripture up there? The Bible says in the scripture, I'm going to grab that one. Do y'all guys have that up there? There we go. Matthew, notice what Jesus said. He said, and as you go, preach saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. How many know that that's what the church does? It proclaims the message. But listen to what else he said. He said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Why do you think he told them to do that? Because those were the problems and needs that everybody in the community was messing with. He said, don't just go out and preach at people. You have to also go out and meet their needs. Listen, and some of us think that the only needs that the church is supposed to be meeting is feeding and clothing people. But how many know that if the church only feeds and clothes people but don't do anything to help people feed and clothe themselves, you really hadn't helped anybody? Right? The only thing that we've done is taught people to be dependent upon the church. But I believe that our God is smarter than that, and he wants us to be able to empower people to feed themselves. We are here not only to preach, but here to meet needs. Listen, some of you may be saying, well, Pastor, isn't that the role of the school board? Shouldn't the school board be fixing this? And the answer is absolutely yes, the school board should be fixing it. But how many know that the problem is not all on the school board? Listen, these kids are coming into the third grade behind. The problem is complex. Listen, they're coming into the third grade not being able to read. And when you talk to any teacher, when you got 25 to 30 students in your classroom, how many know that you don't have time to take and spend and help Johnny get caught up in his studies? Johnny is going to keep getting behind and behind and behind. And so it's a problem that's bigger than what the school board can handle. And the church is put here, our church was put here to help meet the needs of this right here in our community. How many of you love this community? Listen to me. See, I don't know. I'm trying to explain my heart to you. I'm trying to explain my heart because, see, where we're headed, some of you may have issues with it, but I love this community. I was born and raised in this community. I wandered in these same streets just like these jokers right out here. And the truth of the matter is, was it not but for the grace of God, any one of us could be in the same position as anybody else out there. Come on, somebody. And so I have a love and an affinity for this community, and I believe that God has put it. Listen, God is about to blow our minds with some of the things that he's about to do. Listen, but in order for us to do it, we are called here to meet needs. Look at your neighbor and say, we're here to meet needs. Listen, we're here to meet needs. Listen, but in order for us to meet the needs, listen, there's some things that we're going to have to do. And that's all I want to talk to you about. Tina's coming to talk to you about some of the problems to make sure that we understand. But there's some things that we need to do in order to meet the needs in this community. Are you ready? I'm just sharing my hearts. I don't have no notes, but I just want to talk to you. It's right there in your text. See, the text of the Good Samaritan is perhaps one of the most famous sermons that Jesus has ever done. It's one of his most famous parables. It's about a Samaritan who met the needs of a Jew. And out of this story, I just want to give three principles that we need to know in order to be effective in ministering to the people in this area. Amen? The first thing that we have to do, listen, if we're going to be effective in meeting the needs in this community, is we have to love the people. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to love the people. Oh, no. Look at your other neighbor and say, you got to love the people now. Look at me. Listen, this is so, so important. This is so, so important. Listen, I don't mean no religious love. If we're going to be effective at ministering to the people in this area, you got to love the people. You got to love, love, love the people. And when you love them, you got to love, love, love the people some more.
Look in your text in the passage there. The Bible says that a certain lawyer came to Jesus. Y'all got your Bible. I don't have mine, but I'm going off of my memory. The Bible says that a certain lawyer came to Jesus and asked him a question. You have to understand that this is a certain lawyer. Your Bible says certain. So we don't know exactly what that means. Maybe he was some high-powered attorney. Maybe he was some high important person. But this certain lawyer came to Jesus. Now, you need to understand, lawyers are not what we call lawyers today. Right? So the lawyer that when you see that there, it's not talking about like Morgan and Morgan. It's not talking about fine forecast. We're not dealing with car accidents and civil litigation. That lawyer there in the text is a Hebrew scholar. It's someone who studies the law. Now, this is important. It's someone who would be considered a Hebrew scholar who spends all his time. He is an expert in the law. And the Bible says that he came to Jesus and he asked him a question. When he came to Jesus to ask him the question, he wasn't asking him a question because he really wanted to know. Because when you look at the text, it says that he came to prove Jesus, or he came to test him. And he came and he asked Jesus the question, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? Anybody want to know that? How many know that's an important question? What do I have to do to inherit eternal life? Listen, and Jesus responds to him by saying, listen, you are a Hebrew scholar. You tell me what the law says. He says, I'm paraphrasing, you're someone who reads the law all the time. I know that you want to just argue with me. Whatever it is that I say to you, you're going to argue with me. So he said, I tell you what, you tell me what the Hebrew law says. Give me your interpretation. How do you read it? What does it say to you? And the Bible says that the lawyer said, the way how you do it is, you got to serve, you got to love the Lord your God with all your what? Heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength, and you got to what? Love your neighbor as your what? Now, what I find interesting is after Jesus heard him say it, Jesus said, you are correct. Go and do it, and you shall have eternal life. Now, if you've been in the church a long time, that almost seems like Jesus says something that's not consistent, because the Bible says the way how we receive salvation is by faith in Christ alone, right? You have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that's how you receive it. How in the world could Jesus say that if you just love God, then you'll receive eternal life? Listen, well, the reason why Jesus can say that is because he knows that if you love God with all your mind, your heart, your soul, and your strength, that you will accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. You would accept him as God, and you will do all the requirements that are necessary in order to receive eternal life. Right? In other words, God says that if you love me, you'll do all the requirements, because he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, right? So the first thing that Jesus says that was needed to receive eternal life was loving God with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength. If you do that, that's what gives you salvation. But the thing that I really want to harp on is the second part. Because see, after you receive eternal life, there's supposed to be some things that real Christians are supposed to be doing. See, it's our relationship with God that saves us, but after we get saved, there's something that we should be doing after that. And he says that you shall love your what? Your neighbor as yourself. Listen, you got to understand, loving your neighbor is not optional, it's a command. Because elsewhere in the book of Matthew, do you remember what Jesus said? When I believe it was another attorney that came to him, he said, the two great commandments, one is to love God with all your mind, your heart, your soul, and strength. And after that, you are to love your neighbor as your what? It's a commandment. It's not optional. It's something that we are commanded to do. Now, the question is, what does God mean by love your neighbor? This is so, so important. What does he mean by love your neighbor? Well, love, how many of you know, is a term that if I was to ask, everybody in here got a definition of love. I love chicken. I love my car. I love to go on vacations. I love to work. I love to play basketball. Everybody in here has a definition of love. Listen, but when you get a basic Bible concordance or a dictionary, let me give you the fundamental definition of that word. Listen, at the very core of that meaning, to love means to look past someone's fault in order to meet their need. Listen to what's being said. Jesus says, you are to look past someone's fault in order to meet their need. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten son. Why would God give his only begotten son? That whosoever believeth in him should not what? See, that was the problem. Listen, we had a problem, or we had a need that we were going to perish. And so God looked past all the drama that you was doing. Look at your neighbor and say, he looked past all that stuff you was doing. All the clubs and all the breaking it down and shaking it down. And he looked past all the stuff that we did. Why? In order to meet our need. Listen, and if we're going to meet the needs in this community, you got to love people, right? God says you have to love them. He says you have to meet needs. Listen, whose needs are we supposed to be meeting? He says you are to love your what? Who's your neighbor? Y'all know what a neighbor means, right? When you love your neighbor, we call neighbors the people that we live around our what? That word neighbor there just simply means proximity. It just means someone who is near you. It just means someone who is within your proximity, right? For some of us in here individually, the Bible says that you are to love your neighbor. That means your coworkers. That means the people in your house. That means the people on your pew. Come on, somebody. He say that you're supposed to love the people near you. Listen, that's us individually, but also us as a church. Listen, he says, as a church, we're supposed to love the people in our proximity or that are near us. Listen, and this is where he got on me. There's nothing wrong with supporting people all over the world. There's nothing wrong with helping people over in Africa and all these different types of things, but you can't forget about taking care of home. What about the people who you need to love right in your own proximity, right in this community? And we're sitting here having church going on and on and on when people around us are dying every week. Listen, God says you are to love your neighbor and meet their needs. And he says the way you're supposed to love them is as you love yourself. Now, how many of you know we love ourselves? How many of you know we make sure we eat? Looking at some of y'all, look like some of y'all may be eating a little too much. Go and look at your neighbor and say, you look like you eating. You don't miss no meals. You ain't missing no meals. Watch this. Listen to what Jesus is saying. He's saying you got to meet the needs of the people in your proximity just like you meet your own needs. How many know that we make sure that our children go to school and get what they need? We make sure that our children have everything that you need. Listen, and God says in order for us to be effective in this community, you got to meet the needs of everybody else just the same way how you meet your own needs. Now listen, I know the problem with this. I know that some of y'all jokers in here struggling with that. When you hear me say you got to love the people in this community like you love yourself, you immediately say, well, Pastor, I don't know if I can deal with that. Because there's some people in this area that I just don't like them. I don't like them young men with their pants hanging down, Pastor. I just can't deal with that. I don't like these little fast girls wearing these little dresses. I can't deal with these young people with this music. I can't deal with that. And you got somebody that comes to your mind. How many of you got somebody that comes to your mind that when you say love your neighbor as yourself, there's somebody you can't love? How many are going to be honest? Listen, you don't have to go outside the church. There's people right in the church that are hard to love. Go and look to your left and say, are you one of them people that's hard to love in the church? I think Pastor talking about you. You hard to love. Listen, and if we're going to meet needs, listen, hear what I'm saying. You're going to have to get past yourself. We all got people that we don't like, people who don't talk like us, people who don't walk like us, people who don't dress like us, people who don't look as sophisticated as us. Listen, you're not the only one. That's the same problem the lawyer had in the text. Do you got your Bible? Look in there. I remember in the text, he asked Jesus another question after Jesus told him. He said, well, who is my neighbor? Do you see that in there? Notice he didn't ask, what is my neighbor? Because he know what is a neighbor. His question was, who is my neighbor? Why would somebody ask a question like that? Who is my neighbor? You know why? Because there were some people in his proximity that he didn't really like. Come on, somebody. There were some people around him that he did not want to fool with. And some of us, listen, we're no different. There are people in our proximity that we're going to have to learn to deal with. Now, what I find interesting is, listen, was Jesus' response to him on who his neighbor was. Watch this. His neighbor, Jesus didn't really give him a definitive answer. He just gave him the parable. You know who the neighbor was? A Samaritan. Watch this. It was a Samaritan. It was a Samaritan in the story that helped the man who was injured and met the need. Now, you have to understand, see, Jesus is so funny when he does things like this. You have to remember that Samaritans and Jews didn't like each other. See, he's getting to the heart of the question. The lawyer asked a question because there were some people that he didn't like, and he was hoping that Jesus would give him an answer that justified him in not dealing with the people that he didn't want to deal with. And Jesus said, well, I tell you what, let me just tell you who your neighbor is. It's a Samaritan. See, the Samaritan and the Jews didn't deal with each other. It was almost like, whites and blacks during the times of slavery. They didn't talk to each other. They didn't like each other. They didn't have business with each other. How many of you remember the story of the woman at the well? She was a Samaritan, and when Jesus came to her, he said, hey, give me a glass of water. And she said, why in the world are you asking me for a glass of water? You know that we don't deal with the Jews. The Samaritans and the Jews don't talk to each other. How in the world are you asking me for a glass of water? And I find it so interesting, what would make this Samaritan who hated the Jews go up over there and help him? Are y'all ready for it? See, you got to have something in order to enjoy and go help somebody who need help that you don't like. What was it that made the Samaritan help the Jew that was sick in the story? Look there in your text. You know what it was? Listen, here's the principle. There it was. When you look at it, it says, when he saw him, he had what? Do you see that? It said, when he saw his need, he had compassion. Listen, and in order for us to be effective in ministering to the people in there, you got to have compassion for the people or concern or sympathy for them. Listen, if we're going to be effective up over there, you have got to have some compassion for somebody else, just like God had compassion on you. See, I think, I'm just going to say it, I got a little time. You know, sometimes God has blessed us so good, you forget where you came from. Who said that? I knew the amens was going to go down a little bit. See, sometimes God can bless you so good, you driving in your Mercedes and your Honda and your BMW, and you done got your high-powered job, and no, we ain't gonna, the Escalade ain't one of them. The Escalade ain't one of them. No, we ain't talking about no Escalades. But let's be honest. Think about this now, because sometimes God can bless you so good to where you start smelling yourself. And you forget where God brought you from. You don't have no concern for anybody else. That's dumb people. But don't remember that you could have been, in fact, you was just like them jokers right there that you now got the problem with. Pastor, I can't deal with them fast little girls out there wearing that stuff. They getting all pregnant out of wedlock. I can't deal with that stuff. When you had a child out of wedlock. Wait a minute. Pastor, I didn't have no child out of wedlock. The only reason why you did was because of the grace of God. Well, the amens now went down. Why don't y'all just be honest with yourself? It wasn't because you was out there doing all the right stuff in church all the time. Some of y'all was out there doing some of the same crazy stuff, and you could have been pregnant just like the ones you criticizing. Oh, no, I can't deal with them children out there, Pastor. I done got too filled with the Holy Ghost for that. I'm too spirit-filled. I can't deal with them out there. I can't deal with the way them little boys dress out there with their pants hanging down. I can't deal with that. But when you were growing up, you used to have your pants all up to your ankles wearing them bell bottoms. Man, amen's going down. You got to love the people. See, you got to look past the problem to meet the need. I can't deal with them young people and their music. I can't deal with the music. It's too crazy, that rap. I can't deal with it, Pastor. I can't deal with it. When you used to be in the club just like them, talking about the Temptations. See, if you ain't smiling, I'm talking to you. You exactly who I'm talking about. What am I saying? Listen, tell the truth. If it weren't for the grace of God, none of us wouldn't be or have what we have. None of us is in a position. Listen, and I'm telling you, you can't minister to somebody with that condemning attitude. You can't minister to somebody going out there looking down on them like that. And we got some power, spirit-filled women up in here, but can I tell you something? Your attitude is just plumb D nasty. You look down your nose at some of these college students as though you don't know what they're going through. Has it been that long to where you so spirit-filled to where you smelling yourself that much? Pastor, I can't deal with people that ain't educated. I can't deal with them slow people who don't get it. When the truth of the matter is, your nasty butt wouldn't have got out of high school if it weren't for the grace of God. Oh, I'm real sophisticated now. Some of us know you shouldn't have passed that class you was in. I remember when I was in college, sometimes I was taking statistics in some of them classes, and I was like, Jesus be, Lord Jesus, this to God, and direct my hand because I don't know what the answer is. Lord Jesus, got out of there, got my grade, a C. Yes, I got out of this thing. Yes, yes. You know that's the truth. You sitting around here like you a scholar. I can't deal with them folk. Listen, God says we got to have some concern for some other people besides yourself. Some of us down got like Jonah. Y'all remember Jonah? God sent him down there, and Jonah said, I don't like them people. I don't like dealing with them people. But the Bible says, listen, that when Jonah was obedient, the entire city of Nineveh got saved. Watch this. Listen. Can I tell you something? God has put in my spirit, he's going to save a lot of people in this area. Listen, and really that's what it's about. Listen, all he needs is some people to be obedient. He said he's going to save this whole area. Listen, it's been prophesied over and over again. This church was planted here in 1976, not just to be a church, but to be a light. Listen, but can I tell you something God also told me? Watch this. He said, but son, when I save them, I'm not going to do it just by preaching. Now, I know that's too deep for some of y'all to understand. He says, when I save and do the work, it's not going to be just through preaching. He said, it's going to be through meeting needs, which open the doors to your preaching. I hope you get it. I'm just sharing it with you. Listen, see, you got to understand. See, God says, when I send you out, you're going to be sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as smart or wise as what? Serpents. In other words, what he told me was, he says, if you go out just preaching at them, they ain't going to receive anything that you're saying. How many know that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you... You know what he told me? He said, the first thing you need to do is go meet needs. And as you meet needs, I'm going to open the door. Listen, so let me close with this. What do we need to do? The last thing we need to do is make sure that we act on what God leads us to do. I believe that God is leading us to operate in this area of educational disparities. It is huge. And if you are able to fix that problem, you not only affect one or two generations, you affect all the other ones that are coming up. You got to get it when it's young. Now, what do we do? Listen, let me just close. I got 2 minutes and then I'm going to close this up. Listen in your text. Listen. There are three responses to need. Okay? Three responses in the text. Number one is the priest. Y'all see him in there? What did the priest do? He went, he saw the need, and that joker, the pastor, he reminded me of Pastor Sam, that joker went and got on the other side of the street. I love my daddy. He went on the other side of the street and kept going. What was the problem? He had no concern about anybody else. He saw it, but he didn't care. Here's my question to you. Are you the priest? Are you seeing the problem, but you don't care about it at all? You got a business meeting you got to run to. You got something that you need to get to, but you have no concern about whatever is going on around you. The second response was that of the Levite. You see him? The Bible says he was a little more spiritual than the priest. He actually went up over there, he saw him, and then he left. What was the problem with him? He went and saw it. He saw the problem, but he didn't do anything about it. Here's a question. Is that going to be open door? To see all the problems and the needs around us, but ain't nobody taking no action on it. Or you can be the Samaritan. Listen, and I believe God has called us to be the Samaritan. There may be people that you don't like. All that stuff don't matter. Somebody say, get up over yourself. I know for some of our seniors, it's going to be a little hard. Some of y'all looking at me crazy now. Y'all see, Pastor is up there in a shirt and some jeans and some shoes. That ain't preacher-like. But how many know that the generation that we witnessing to? Man, they don't care nothing about your suit. In fact, let me tell you something. You go out there trying to talk to them jokers in the suit, and the first thing they're going to do is look at you and be like, huh, and just go ahead and walk on away. They don't care nothing about your suit. They want somebody who is real and that's going to talk to me on my level. So you know what? I've learned that when God tells you to do something, I can't be concerned about what all y'all think. Listen, if God gonna do it, he gonna do it. And you know what I found? That young people like people who are hip. Is it hip? Is it? No, it ain't hip. Okay. Young people like people that are cool. Is it cool? Can I tell you something? Here, I'm going to bust somebody's bubble. You could still be spirit-filled in some jeans. I promise you. I promise you. In fact, I found that the people who look the most spiritual in them suits are the same ones cursing when they get in their car. They're the same ones who will walk past you and not even speak to you. All I'm saying is, listen, see, when somebody comes into this place, I don't care what they got on. I don't care if they got on shorts, if they got on jeans. It doesn't matter. What we should be doing as the body of Christ is loving them. Let God take care of that. You get too concerned about, well, Pastor, what if they come in there with shorts? Why don't you let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit? Watch this. And if the church is real, if we are in the serious business of discipleship, of taking a person from where they are and helping them move along the path, watch this. God take care of all that stuff himself. Listen, so God has called us to meet needs. I've asked Representative Tina to come here today. I hope that some of you can stay for this, because the goal of me asking her to come is I need you to understand the extent of the problem. Because when we start moving on it, I don't want you to be like, well, Pastor, why are we doing all that? Why are we spending all this money on this? Listen, when you look at the Samaritan, he invested his money in what he believed God told him to do. And I believe that God put us in this community for a reason. All these children around us need help. And guess what? I can't do it by myself. Some of y'all jokers rolling in so much money, I'm going to need some money. Some of y'all got a BMW, a Lexus. Daryl Gaskin got 4 or 5 cars. I may need you to turn in one of them cars and sow into the ministry, baby. We're trying to affect generations. Amen. I just wanted you to hear my heart. That's all I got. I mean, I hope that you understand. We are in this community to meet needs. Can I just ask one more time? How many of y'all was born in this area, spent time in the Duval area? How many of you? Anyone else? How many of y'all? Listen, even if you didn't, as Christians, you still got to love the people.